We do have children's church. Thank you, teachers. As I was sitting on the dock, enjoying usually sunrise, this is the sunset, but usually the sunrise, fishermen would come by in their $250,000 fishing boats. You understand, here's one pictured, probably. Not that the boat costs that much, but there's a $100,000 depth finder and fish finder attached to the boat. One guy came by, Lutheran. I love Lutherans. I was married to a Lutheran and actually helped to lead her to faith in Christ later at college. But whenever I can make a Lutheran laugh, I have achieved a victory. One of these guys came by early in the morning and he said, "Do you have a line in the water?" And I said, "No, go ahead, fish." But the fish were jumping last night about 20 feet out. I'm insulting his $250,000 boat with the depth finder, and he knew exactly where the fish were. Well, I just let him fish for a minute. He wasn't catching anything. And I said, "Now, you gotta eat whatever you catch." And he said, "I ain't playing by that rule." And then he started laughing. I made a victory. I made a Lutheran laugh, undoubtedly. Anyway, a Minnesotan. I appreciate your prayers. Had a delightful time. I shared sunset pictures, usually, with many of you. It's just delightful. It's just fun. It's a family heritage. Hope's great-great-grandfather bought the site of this lake in 1900 and put it in a family trust. So the extended family comes back, some of them, now all these 120-some years later. So it's just fun. It's delightful. As I was thinking about a sermon, we're going through Ephesians chapter 6. We're going through the armor of God. We really haven't got there. And I'm going to be honest, I'm not going to get to there yet today. Let me mention Jan Markell speaking on Marketplace with Moody Radio. As I was driving home on Friday, I picked up her broadcast somewhere in Oklahoma. She had some interesting thoughts on Pride Month. She interviewed and discussed an article titled "Pushing Back on Pride. Has the damage already been done to an entire generation?" Written by David Fiorazzo. And I'm going to quote his article. "The month of June can be a disappointing, discouraging, and at times a sickening month for Christians and conservatives due to the nonstop, relentless promotion of pride, perversion, and public displays of hypersexualized behavior. Praise God that you live in Texas. You really don't know all that's going on in the North." He writes, "Let's be honest, it's not just a one-month campaign, it's year-round. So let's drop the formalities and the talking points that the LGBTQ, I'm going to call it alphabet soup, okay? The alphabet community needs more exposure and visibility. Children are watching. Many of them have grown up thinking it's all normal, natural, even healthy, because that's what they've been told. Too many have been recruited. Some have become activists, while others have experienced depression, driving them to suicide. Words have been redefined and used as weapons. Where's the church? Where's the resistance to this deadly, sinful ideology? Pride is an offense to God, and yet some professing Christians support this. The Bible states that pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Ephesians 6:11 warns, do not participate in deeds of darkness. Rather, expose evil. The past silence of believers in America has been misinterpreted as consent of homosexuality and beyond. I believe, he writes, that today we're seeing the consequences of Christians taking the path of least resistance. How did we get here? There's a chapter in my new book, and his book is titled Assault on the Image of God, that details the extensive progression of this movement going all the way back to the 1950s. It's a transgender event historical timeline. In more recent history, Target and Disney are just two of the big corporations to push pride programming. Disney doubled down after losing hundreds of millions of dollars last year, its worst year since 1974, when there was a Democrat in the White House, by the way. That's a side issue. It hosts Pride Nights in its theme parks and continues pushing the alphabet ideology in its movies and TV shows. Target has made Pride displays in its stores since around 2012, but in the past 2 years, their stock price has taken more than a 40% hit. Disney has also taken a huge hit, which indicates more Americans are tired of the onslaught. Amen? Thank you. But don't think these corporate giants are laying off the demonic agenda or reversing course anytime soon. The good news is Target is cutting back on the assortment of Alphabet Pride products in its collection to only 75 items. 75 is still a lot if you ask me, but they used to have a mind-boggling 2,000 Pride products a year. Boycotts matter, though they are reducing, not removing, displays and online products. Another chain that may surprise you is Walmart and its Pride Always collection with over 1,000 products. Pride notebooks, tote bags, fanny packs, pool floaties, more rainbow-colored products to celebrate the season, including one t-shirt that declares, "Some people are gay. Get over it." Just weeks ago, Walmart presented two Hispanic homosexuals marketing the company's latest line of clothing and stated, "We couldn't be prouder of this year's Alphabet Plus founders and designers. Today, tomorrow, always, Pride always." Even small town TV stations are anything but neutral in the culture war. One of our local news stations is again going all in to promote Pride, stating, "As you get ready to show your pride this year, consider shopping Walmart's Alphabet brands, buying from brands that support the alphabet individuals is something we should all do more, whether it's Pride Month or not." The translation of that is we need to be queer all year and not just in June. Global Data's research group, Neil Saunders, recently said 297 businesses scaled back their alphabet advocacy this year, and that retailers are more cautious about what causes they promote. He states, if you promote pride, some people will be unhappy with it. If you don't promote pride, some people will be unhappy about that. It's not a battle you can win completely, which is why some retailers and brands are taking a middle-of-the-road approach and keeping it moderate. They are doing some promotion, but they are restricting it to things that they think are palatable and acceptable to most people. It seems that more American consumers simply want neutrality. If we like a product, don't push a religious or a political ideology. And that's the cult of the Alphabet Group, both religious and political. According to the CDC, an astounding 1 in 4 high schoolers now identifies as gay, an increase of 15% from less than 10 years ago. Meanwhile, thousands of children in the United States are now openly identifying as a gender different from their birth. Did you notice the four hostages that were released from captivity? Did you have to question what their gender preference was? The girl released, she was a woman and she was proud of being a woman and proud to be with her father and proud to go to the hospital as her mother is dying of cancer. Her mother's one prayer request was that she would see her daughter before she died. Praise God, that prayer was realized. Those three men, I didn't see any report that they wondered of whether they were male or female. Men. Hormone therapy and surgical centers are increasing business as youth confusion, depression, STDs, that's sexually transmitted diseases, that are escalating in our country, drug abuse surge, all of this is in historic and catastrophic rates. This is a result of the infiltration of sexual deviation in government schools. We used to call them public. Let's just call them government schools. The legislation of immorality and the successful marketing and saturation of American culture, they're winning. Before I came to this pastorate, as I've told you in the past, I was a counselor in a public school in Virginia. Now, I was placed there by a counseling agency as a professional counselor, and I had 7 clients, mostly female, black females, bigger than me, twice me, 6'5" in a couple of cases, hostile, angry, and here me being this meek and mild pastor. Father of 6 sons, they didn't mess with me. I didn't mess with them. We just told the truth. I remember being in the gym one time during a break time when I didn't have a client, and I just went in the gym and there was a young girl in there and she was pounding the boards. She was one of the varsity basketball players. She was tearing it up. She was chucking the ball. I was afraid she was going to break one of the backboards. And I called her by name. And I said, come and sit down. Tell me what's going on. She wasn't one of my clients. I had no business talking to her unless she wanted to talk, and she did. I said, what are you so angry about? She said, last weekend I was seduced. She named the girl that seduced her, one of the students in the student body, older student, who invited her over for the weekend, having a lesbian affair. And it turned her angry. That's what Romans chapter 1 describes, the whole culture turning into an angry mess. Don't be deceived, children, don't be deceived. How do we respond? Pastor and former president of Wesley Biblical Seminary insists the gospel is the only antidote to pride and sexual brokenness. He writes, from a Christian perspective, Pride Month is harmful because it affirms, encourages, and celebrates what Scripture plainly identifies as sin, which is against God, against nature, against individuals, and against communities. As such, sin is destructive and thwarts the generation and the sustaining of life as God intends it. Pride Month is an act of rebellion against God, who deeply loves us and expresses such love by prohibiting that which is against our well-being. This is not an argument over who is right or who is better. It's a life and death issue, having both physical and eternal consequences. On Wednesday night, we've been studying the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 9:27 states, "It is appointed unto mankind to die once, and after this, the judgment." True believers stand against this evil because of our compassion and our concern for these alphabet individuals and the fact that they are lost. They celebrate behaviors that are harmful and destructive. You have no idea. Some of you are thinking it's just a man married to a man and they love each other and everything's peace, just wonderful. You have no clue what's going on. Talk to my neighbor who's Jewish, who is a Dallas police officer, who knows what goes on in the homosexual communities in Dallas. I knew it. As a contractor, when I was in seminary with three employees, we would often be called. I'd be called on Saturday morning or Sunday morning to go and replace doors in apartment complexes where the older men were fighting over the younger men and kicking in doors and wrecking havoc. I made a lot of money. I did it for a little while, and then I just couldn't stomach it anymore. See the literature that's there, what they're promoting. Really, I quit when one of my good friends, a seminary student, dropped out of seminary because his wife left him to marry a woman. Not even to marry her, just to shack up with her. What a heartbreak. What a heartbreak for a seminary student to do that. True believers stand against this evil agenda. 1 Corinthians 6 makes it very clear. Such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Love them enough to point them to Jesus and to tell them the truth and point them to the hope in Christ. Now, Jan Markell, really, the part that I heard was about an NBC documentary that's coming this month, Pride Month, about Mother Earth and the 1,500 different animals on the planet who are not heterosexual. They're not normal. They're queer. And that's what they're promoting. And they're promoting it as a documentary to our children. Turn your televisions off, parents. Queer in the sense that they do things that other species don't do to reproduce naturally as we understand it. Although it's labeled as science, it isn't science. It's fantasy. It's emotional, illogical, and self-absorbed, promoting the agenda of Pride Month. There is no such thing as Mother Earth. Do I need to say that again? I hope not. Mother Earth doesn't exist. It's fantasy. There is, however, a Father God who created the heavens and the earth, who demands that we conform to his will and his purposes, and promises judgment if we do not come to faith in Christ. He's not being harsh. Sin can't enter his presence. We've got to have it cleansed. Jesus provides the cleansing. Praise Jesus. And then we grow into conformity with his likeness. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness, twistedness in the heavenly places. For our struggle is against these evil forces. But then he says, therefore, verse 13, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm. The repetition of a twofold injunction to put on the whole armor of God and to stand firm is significant. God expects us to heed it. Our day is evil as the age nears its end, and evil will become more twisted, more deranged, and worse. But no matter what the extent of the evil or the fierceness of Satan's attacks against us are, the Christian must simply stand firm. Hold our biblical ground. Don't apologize for it. Use it. Have the word of God in your mouths. Quote it. We're not to flee in fear, but to stand. We're not to hide in fear, but to stand and turn off your propaganda televisions. The days are becoming increasingly perilous, so that the whole armor of God must be put on. But an evil day may dawn upon any one of us individually, a day of fierce persecution, a day of severe testing, resulting from some crisis in our lives, or a day of moral peril. Unless we're properly protected daily with God's protection, we may fall instead of stand. So to the least and the lowliest in the church, to the oldest and the wisest, to the weakest and the strongest, Paul says, stand. If you can't stand, at least sit. Stand there with a walker if you have to. I'm talking about myself. Where's my cane, by the way? The battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. Fully equipped ourselves according to the divine direction, and we shall be standing firm after the smoke clears from the battle. If the enemy attacks, keep on standing. There's no standing in the strength of the flesh. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. 1 Corinthians 10. It is in Christ that we maintain our position. The world does not understand spiritual truth. It either distorts the true nature of our battle to the point of ridiculousness, or it rejects spiritual reality as a myth. There is no God. Or it rejects it intellectually, labeling it as unacceptable and inadmissible to any intelligent mind. Occultism and superstition have distorted the revelation of spiritual warfare in the comic books, on television, making children's cartoons with figures of goblins and witches and spooks and ghouls as if it's all normal and natural. I'm aware of the disdain that many people in our society exhibit toward any serious discussion of the devil and evil spiritual forces. They say, are you going to insult our intelligence by talking about a personal devil? That's such a medieval concept, straight out of the superstition of the Dark Ages. Are you seriously suggesting that the devil is at the root of all the world's problems today? Yes. We have to ask ourselves, if there is no devil, then how do we explain all the evil in the world? Take your Bible and read it. Pharaoh was evil. And God chose his people out of that nation and destroyed Pharaoh and his people. Babylon tried it to destroy them. Babylon was destroyed. Haman tried it in the book of Esther. He and his 10 sons died of a necktie party at the top of a gallows. The Holocaust in most of our lifetimes. just a short half century ago. How can we say that there's no devil? We see what's going on in Israel today. How can we say that a personal, intentional force for evil is not deliberately trying to destroy God's plan for the world? And when we look at the persecution of the Christian church around the globe, how can we say there is no devil? These forces operate under the authority of the one who is father of lies, the prince of darkness, the devil himself. Only by recognizing him as real, as the scriptures clearly declare, can we begin to understand the reality around us. Only then can we truly live life as it really is. Only then can we comprehend the vital necessity of putting on the whole armor of God, which is a figure of speech, yes, but it is in fact Christ himself, putting on Christ himself. In our own strength, we can utterly fail. We're helpless to face such a powerful enemy as the devil. We're not told to fight him. Put the armor on and stand still. Paul writes that we are to prove ourselves as the ministers of God by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. I think he has in mind the armor of right living and right doing, the practical uprightness which should result when we are justified through faith in Christ. For most of us, our left hand holds a baseball glove or a shield in our picture of armor, and our right hand would be the offensive weapon, the word of God, the sword. There is a precious truth hidden in the command from God. It is not a command to invade a foreign territory. Warfare in modern terms would imply a command to march. He doesn't tell us to march. He tells us to stand. Nearly all the weapons of our warfare described in Ephesians 6 are purely defensive. Even the sword can be used for defense as well as for offense. Jesus took the offense for us at the cross. Ours is, in essence, defense up. Since we see reality as God sees it, through the lens of his truly true word, the Bible, we see that we must accept as fact the proposition of Paul in Ephesians 6. Behind the problems of the world, behind the evil that manifests itself in mankind, there is a hierarchy of evil spirits led by the devil and his unholy angels. The world says to the Christian, why talk about myths from the Bible or about devils and angels? You want to know what's real? Turn on CNN. Or pick up the Wall Street Journal or the Washington Post. That's reality. That's relevant. That's meaningful. No, that's ephemeral. That's passing away. That's the illusion of reality. Real reality. The real warfare that's going on in this world is so invisible to the people of this world that it's never talked about on CNN. It never makes the headlines. Yet it is actually these principalities and powers that drive the events behind the headlines. The wars, the genocides, the persecutions, the famines, the hatred, the racial unrest, all of these things are the outward symptoms of the spiritual cancer that is consuming this world from the inside out. And what good is it to keep giving aspirin to a feverish patient with a fever that is merely a symptom of a deadly cancer? It's not enough to treat the symptoms. We must attack the disease itself. That's what Paul says so vividly and accurately and sets before us in Ephesians 6. take up the full armor of God so you'll be able to resist and stand firm. Well, you say, that's all very depressing. Thank you. I'm so glad I came to church this morning. I would rather not think about it. That's our problem, Christians. We don't want to think about it. I don't like to think about it either. But I have discovered that you cannot wish the truth away. There's only one realistic approach to this struggle, and that is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Take up the full armor of God. That's the way to escape, and there is no other way. Who's the actress in the middle here? She was only on there 1 year. Grace Lee Whitney can testify to the fact that the stronger Jesus Christ has come into her life and to set her free from the evil power that rules this world. In the 1950s and 60s, she appeared in numerous motion pictures and television shows, working with the biggest stars in Hollywood, including Marilyn Monroe and Groucho Marx and Jack Lemmon and Robert Stack and many more. The guys next to her here. Then in 1966, she was tapped to play a featured part on TV's Star Trek. During the first season, however, after appearing in only 13 episodes, her character, Yeoman Janice Rand, was written out of the show. The sense of failure and rejection she felt after losing the role sent her into a tailspin of alcoholism, drug abuse, and sexual immorality. She got to the point where she was drinking on Skid Row on the street corners, right out of the bottle. Hospitalized, she was told by her doctors that the gin she had been drinking was eating a hole in her esophagus, and she had nearly destroyed her liver. If she didn't stop it, she would be dead within a couple of weeks. Grace Lee Whitney was scared, but she didn't know how to stop drinking. The alcohol controlled her. A friend took her to a recovery group where she was introduced to God. The group said the Lord's Prayer together, and at that very moment, this prayer that had always sounded like a gibberish to her suddenly made perfect sense. It was the first time she ever really knew that God cared for her, and she immediately stopped drinking and using drugs. In the weeks that followed, God led her on a journey to Israel. On a walking tour outside of Jerusalem, in the Arab quarter, for those that have been there, she came to a gate with a sign that read, Garden of Gethsemane. In her autobiography called The Longest Trek, she recalls what happens next. I put my hands on the iron bars of the gate and looked through into the Garden of Gethsemane. Suddenly, I felt weak, as if I was about to faint. I had to hold onto the bars to remain standing. And then I saw Jesus. He was beyond the iron bars, praying in the garden. I thought, but I'm Jewish. As if he could read my mind, he turned. He looked back at me, and he said, so am I. After that experience, Grace Lee Whitney gave her heart and her life to the Lord Jesus. The strongest chains are not those that can be placed around the body, but those that are wrapped around the mind and the heart. The writers of Scripture make this clear. Paul tells us, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. There is hope in Christ. There is deliverance in Christ. If you have not placed your faith in Christ, please do that today. He will deliver us from evil. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for those people named Grace who have found grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for those here this morning that may be confused, that may have loved ones who are living alternate lifestyles, like church members here that went to a wedding thinking that they were their precious, beautiful granddaughter was marrying a young man. He looked so good at the wedding, and then a few weeks later, they find out he wasn't a man at all. He's another woman. Deceitful, deceived. Have mercy on our families, Father. Deliver us from evil. Thank you for exalting yourself in each one of our lives. May we have the courage, the boldness to take the word of God, to hold it firmly, and to present it standing firm. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.